You'll take your Bibles, please, and as you've noted in the bulletin, if you will turn into the book of Isaiah chapter 1, and we this morning want to be speaking about sin. Now, we don't want to speak about sin in the respect that we would rather speak of something else, but that's what the Bible is about. The Bible is a book about sin and the redemption from that sin. The book about man taking his own way, turning to each and every one his own way, and God had to take care of that sin God's way. Now, sin cannot be taken care of man's way, or if it had been, there would be billions of ways for which that sin would be taken care of. But sin must be taken care of God's way. As we had a week or so ago, sin was God's problem. You say, well, man did it. Yes, but it was God's problem because man loves you. I mean, God loves you. God loves man whom he created. God loves mankind. And God wants to have fellowship with that mankind. So if you look in Isaiah chapter 1, in verse 18, the Lord says, come. That's an invitation. And the invitation is to come when? The next word, what does it say?
Now.
Come now. Come now. It is salvation is today. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. So if you're here this morning and you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the Word of God, when is the time?
Now.
Today is the time. Now is the accepted time for you to come. And the Lord is so wonderful in telling us even about this situation of sin, about the dastardly act that we had done, and we want to learn what that is. What is sin? Well, if you would ask some people, they'd say, oh, it's something bad. Well, that perhaps is true. But anything, now listen to me, anything that is not in the will of God is what? Because the Bible says that which is not of faith is what? Sin. I didn't say the Bible says that. So, it isn't just necessarily something that is bad. If the Lord gives you and gives me instruction, and we don't obey that instruction to Him to know to do good and do it if not, it's what? It's sin. So the Lord has given, for instance, this morning, He's given the instruction, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. I want you to gather around my son. I want you to gather around him. I want you to have fellowship with him. I want you to worship him. I want you to adore him. And if we do that not, then according to the Word of God, it is sin. In Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 7, we have there warnings and exhortations that are to the children of Israel. But these are general instructions. And we are told that sin is rebellion against the Lord. Anything that is contrary to God's way and God's will is sin. And sin separates between you and your God, we're told in Isaiah 59. That sin has separated between you and your God. And so this is something that is so, so important. It is perhaps the most important thing in our lives is that we realize that we as Christians, even those of us who are born again, if we sin, we have broken the fellowship between ourselves and our Father. And if we are not saved, we have not that fellowship. But you can have it if you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as that sin bearer. The Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary saved your soul. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's what it says in Ezekiel 18 and 4. And the Lord Jesus Christ gave his soul a ransom for sin. Because it is the soul that sinneth. It wasn't the spirit. It was the soul of the spirit that sinned. And so, but the spirit cannot have fellowship with God as long as that soul is under sin. as long as that soul does not realize that the soul of Jesus Christ, the perfect being of the Lord Jesus Christ, was paid in redemption for that soul, then there's no fellowship with God. And so we find also in Joshua, where it was spoken to the children of Israel, where it says, "Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to what? Death." Now that's the separation. Death is the separation between God and man. Death, eternal death, and it's not a cessation of that being, but it's a death that is a separation between the soul that will not accept what Jesus Christ did for him, and accepting that, then there is eternal death. It is not, my friend, eternal cessation. The soul that is born into this world is a soul that lives on forever. It either lives in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ, and it determines
whether it will spend eternity in heaven or eternity in hell. And one's just as long as the other. Death and hell cast into the lake of fire.
So God says, come, and he wants us to come now. And God wants to reason with you. He wants you to realize that you are a sinner. And God, he shouldn't have to do this. He says, let us. Let you and let me, God is saying, let us reason together. Now, he's not making any compromise. God makes no compromise. He states there, listen to what he says, come now, let us reason together. You say, well, I can sit down and I can discuss with God about my sins. Yes, you can. But look what else he says. Though your sins be as scarlet. He makes no alternative there. There is no alternative. You are a sinner and your sins are glaring red. They are glaring, and God says that the very thought of foolishness is sin. And so it'd be foolishness for you and for me to sit together with God and say, now I'm justified because of my goodness. The Bible tells us no, and you and I know that we're not. We know that we're not if we really look into our very being. And so whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If I don't believe what God wants me to believe about him, God says, now let's come and let's reason together. Let's talk about this. But I want you to see that you've sinned, that you've rebelled, that you've turned each and every one to your own way. God says, I want you to see that. And God is so earnest. And God is so compassionate that he wants you and he wants me to see that. And without seeing that, you cannot be saved. You must be born from above. You must realize that nothing about salvation can come from this earth. It had to come from above. Jesus came from above to this earth to save that which was on this earth that had rebelled against God in heaven. We had rebelled against the God that loves us. John tells us in his first epistle that whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. People today say, well, I'm keeping the law. You could keep the law if you could. You still would not go to heaven. The Bible says, or Jesus would be a liar to get to heaven. In John 3:3, he says what? You must be what? Born again. You must be born again. You must be born from above. You must realize that I died on the cross of Calvary, and I died there for a reason, that you are a sinner and I love you. But number one, it was not that he loved me the more of two people. He loved me, yes, and he did, but he loved God the more. He loved God the more because he did the Father's will, and he wanted to please the Father because he was the perfect only sacrifice that there could be. There was none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other name. It doesn't make any difference what that name is, whether it's a church or whether it's a person. There's no other name. It's the only name, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is able, and he wants to save you from sin.
And one of the things that is so important that he tells us in John's Gospel, in 1 John chapter 5, he tells us this. These things are written to you that what? That believe. That you may know that you have eternal life. Now, are all people who are professed, are all those that have said that Jesus is my Savior, do they know it? Do you really know it? Are you sure? And how can you be sure? Look, I just quoted it to you. These things are written unto you that believe. What things? The Word of God, the Scripture. They were told in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that Christ died for our sins according to what? According to the Scripture. That name, that only name, none other name under heaven. That's the burnt offering spoken of in the book of Leviticus. There's none other name. There could be no other name but there. That's the only name. That's the only person that could be the offering that God would accept. That's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you cannot belittle sin because it is of such magnitude that God sent heaven's best, the only person, the only one that could ever, in all the eons of eternity, satisfy God in the relationship of my sin and your sin to Him. There's only one. There's none other name. And we're told in Ephesians 1 and 4, even before the foundation of the world, God decided that the Lord Jesus would come into the world to save sinners. Before the foundation of the world. And so even before you were born, before anybody was ever born, God knew we would sin. And He had to take heaven's best to pay for the worst that man can do unto God. All unrighteousness is sin. The Bible tells us that in 1 John 5 and 17. And there's still another 5 and 17 that tells us about the cure. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, it tells us that when we are born again, all things become what? New. Old things are passed away. And then in 5:21, it tells us that Christ was made sin. Christ, God's Son, the soul of God, Son, the soul of the Son of God, was made sin for you and for me, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So that's what sin is. It is rebellion against God. It is separation from God. It is something bad. And sometimes it's something that we think is good. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So various things are sin, but whatever it is, it's rebellion to God's will and God's way. And then the origin of this. It happened in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, where the serpent beguiled the woman. And he told her, you will not surely die. And she said, well, then let's just try it. But God said, the day that you eat of that fruit of that forbidden tree, you're going to what? You're going to die. But so the thing of it is, we do not believe God. And listen to me, my friends. If you don't believe God, you're believing the devil. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself said, ye are of your father the devil. Now, a lot of people don't like that, but that's what the Word of God says. And if you do not believe the Lord Jesus Christ, your father is the devil. That's the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, we have this origin. And the Lord Jesus Himself tells us, if you want to turn there to Matthew's Gospel chapter 5, chapter 15. Chapter 15 and verse 19. And there, the Lord Jesus Christ gives us a picture of what of this horribleness can do and what it causes and what it brings forth. And it didn't bring it forth from out, from without, but it comes forth from within because that's where sin originates, in the heart of man. Now, look here, and it says, for out of the heart proceedeth first evil thoughts. The serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. God knows that you're not going to die. And then she added to the word. If you look in the book of Genesis, and God says, don't add to the word. We don't find in God's instructions where he said not to touch that tree. But she added to that and said that we shall not eat from it, but we shall not not only do that, but we shall not touch it. Whenever we start adding to God's word, then we get into trouble. Because we do it for our own benefit, our own satisfaction. And then out of the heart comes evil thoughts. And this woman brought forth a son. And the first son she brought forth was what? A murderer, wasn't it? And that's the next thing you see that comes out of the heart. He killed his brother. Why? Because of sin. His brother brought an offering to God that God said would take care of his transgression. But his this brother wanted to bring the fruit of a cursed ground. He wanted to bring forth, and it was beautiful. It looked good. And all, but you see, even looking good, that didn't make it right. It was a sin. You say, an offering was sin? Yes, it was, because it was not the offering that God wanted. God's offering is the Lord Jesus Christ for sin, and any other offering for it is sin. It's something that God cannot accept, no matter how beautiful that it may look in your eyes and my eyes. And then this brings forth illicit relationships. These come from in the heart. Adulteries, after marriage, and then fornication. That's the unlawful sexual intercourse. These things that are brought forth. And then we have all these things. We have uncleanness, which is moral evil. We have lasciviousness, which is shameful conduct. All these things. No restraint. Idolatry. That's the worship of idols. Worship of anything that is not God. Worshiping demons. You watch your television on the news, and they have these, even what is called a Satan church. And you say, how can there be a Satan church? There certainly can be. A church doesn't mean that it is something sanctimonious. A church in the Bible just means something of a gathering together. There was no church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. There is a church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament times, but that means something that's been called out. There were assemblies in the Bible, and that just meant in the Greek they were called from a certain thing. But a person who belongs to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has been called out of the world into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me put that another way. He or she has been called out of a life of sin by their acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are placed into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 2:47 says, they or such as was believed were added to the church daily. So you do not get into the church by membership, by putting your name on a roll or anything of that sort. You get into the church of Jesus Christ by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior from sin. That's the only way you get in there. And then you can be affiliated with a local assembly. And that's what the Lord would have us to do. And we also see here that we have witchcraft. And this word, if you look it up in the Greek, may surprise you. It is pronounced pharmakia. And that's where we get our word pharmacy from. And pharmacy reminds us of what? What do you go there to get? Drugs. And we have this today. We have the witchcraft or sorcery. And this is a sin. And this sorcery business, and let me tell you, even this business of looking in the newspaper and seeing what your horoscope is, stay away from that nonsense. It'll get you in trouble. Even Christians should stay away from that nonsense. If you want to read something, don't read that. Just open the Bible and read it. Amen. This book right here, someone has said, it'll keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the book. Whoever said that made a true statement. But stay away from these things. If you fool with liquor, if you fool with it, you're sooner or later going to get intoxicated, are you not? And there's never been a person who was an alcoholic, and I'll stand up here till my dying day and say that there's never been an alcoholic who did not take the first drink. If you take the first drink, you have the susceptibility of being an alcoholic. If you don't take that first drink, you don't have that susceptibility to that, of being an alcoholic. And then there's hatred. Strong feelings of malice. That's wrong. That's a sin. That's what the Word of God is telling us. And then variance, contention. The Lord hates contention or discord. These things come from within. Out of the heart of man proceedeth these things. The Lord says, you don't drink in these things like they were talking about, eating with unwashed hands or eating the wrong thing. The Lord says these things come from within because it is the heart and it is the soul and it is the being of man that is sin. We have a desperate heart. Jeremiah 17:9 tells us that we have a despicable heart. Who can know it? Oh, we have that as a, and it needs to be saved. And we need to realize that when we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, that old man was crucified on the cross. We need to understand that. We have died with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're told in Romans to count him as crucified, count him as dead. We have that ability through the Holy Spirit of God. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, by one man sin into the world, and death by sin. That's the only reason there's death. Because of sin. So death passed upon all men, because how many have sinned? What does it say there?
All
have sinned. Every one of you in here has sinned. Every one of you in here needs to be saved or needed to be saved. One of the two. You needed to be saved and are saved, or you need to be saved. It's either past tense or present tense before you have any future tense. We must realize that this sin is the most awful thing that has ever come into man. We wanted our own way. God gave us a free will. God gave you and God gave me the right to choose. And we choose. And listen, anything at all. I don't care what it is. Anything at all that you choose before God is sin. Anything at all. I don't care what it is. That you choose before God is sin. And God has established marriage. How wonderful He's established it. But let me say this, and say it with all kindness, and perhaps you would have to sit down with me to discuss this. Your wife is not to be placed above God, and your husband is not to be placed above God. God has to be supreme. The Lord Jesus Christ said, you shall have no other gods before me. You know, your wife isn't to be a god. Your husband isn't to be a god. But let me tell you this. If you and your wife and you and your husband have the relationship with God that you should have, you will love your wife more and you will love your husband more. Don't ask me how, but you will. Because it's something that is a mystery with God. So my friend, sin is a reproach to any people. And oh, how we need to understand this in these United States of America. We've been so fickle and so pious, we think, superficially pious in the last days in the war of God. We called upon the Lord, and all the churches were full practically and calling upon the Lord and having special prayer meetings and all these things. That's just as important today when the war is over as it was the day the war started.
Amen.
We need to realize that God does not play with sin. God does not play with the affections that man has towards sin. Oh, my friend, Proverbs 15:9 tells us, the way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. How we need to understand And the proverb writer tells us again in Proverbs 30:12, there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes. We think, most of us think, that America can do no wrong. I wish that were the case, but as long as we're here on this earth, that is not going to be the case. And yet, it is not washed from their filthiness. That's what the rest of that proverb says. We're not washed from our filthiness. And God is going to require a great price from this greatest nation that He's ever permitted to be upon the face of the earth. He's going to require it from us. Oh, my friend, the privilege that God has given to us, and we don't care. We care about more about Sunday dinner than we do feasting on the things of the Lord. We care more about the Super Bowl or the NBA playoffs or the World Series or whatever it is. We care more than for God, and God says, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God with all thy soul, with all thy might, with all thy strength. With all thy heart. That's what God says. And this is what God wants. God, listen to me. The Lord Jesus Christ, when He was here upon this earth, never, never, never refused worship from any man because He was God and He was to be worshipped. And you and I are to worship Him. We are to adore Him. And God gave Him a name that is above every name. That at the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, every knee shall what?
Bow.
Every knee is going to bow to Him, whether it's here or whether it's in heaven. And if we get to heaven, and those that are saved will get there, I'm just using that. If we get to heaven, we will be doing it voluntarily and willingly because what He has done for us, but He wants us to do it now. But if you don't get there, even in the lake of fire, there will be knees that bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody's going to recognize that He is the Savior from sin. So, sin originated with man. He that committeth sin is of the devil. We're told in 1 John 3:18, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. You are of your father, the devil. That's an awful thing, isn't it? That's the way we all were when we were in our unsaved days. And if you're still unsaved, it makes no difference whether you're in here this morning and you're 13 years old or whether you're as old as Mr. Randall, 92. If you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you're dead in your sins. You're dead in your trespasses and sins. But if you have, if you're 13 years old and you're as old as Mr. Randall and you have accepted it, you're saved. You're just as saved as the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been born of incorruptible seed. You've been born and given a divine nature. You belong to Him. You've got the sin question has been settled in the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come now. Let us reason together. The Lord wants to reason with you. And so He stated, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Now don't argue with me, the Lord is saying. He's saying, you must listen to me, though they be red like crimson. He reiterates it. If you don't know what scarlet is and the color of your sin and how they're glaring, He says, though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I'll make you pure in my eyes. I will make you the righteousness of my Son. My righteousness, and you'll stand before me and you'll look as if you had never sinned. That's what God says. That's what sin is. The sin load has been taken off of me and put over on the Lord Jesus Christ. He bore it. But He's going to see the travail of His soul in Isaiah 53. And he should be satisfied. He'll be satisfied with, and one day, you know, it tells us in Ephesians, one day He's going to point to us and say, these are what I saved. Isn't that something? We're going to be the wonderful parading exhibition of the Lord. These are the ones that I have saved. Saved from what? Saved from sin. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. In Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 3, It says, for your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue has muttered perverseness. That's what we are. That's what we are. Isaiah tells us in 64:6 that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You don't have any righteousness that are not sinful. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We are all as an unclean thing. Every one of us. And we need to be cleansed by the only cleansing agent that there is, and that is the cleansing agent of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have that ability within us to lust. And James tells us that when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth, what's the next word? Death. It brings forth death. And that is the situation that you face this morning without the Lord Jesus Christ, is eternal death. But I'd not rather believe on Him and trust in Him and face eternal life. And knowing that I belong to Him and that nothing can pluck me out of His hand because He tells me that it can't. So my friend, as we look at this message this morning, sin number one excludes you from heaven. You can't go to heaven if you have not had your sin taken care of. And that's not just my word. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Don't you know that? You should know it this morning because the Bible has told you that through the word of the Holy Spirit. Now these are the works of the flesh, where Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Now these are the works of the flesh, and they're manifest, they're showing forth. And we just went through those. That is the fruit of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. All these things. And the Bible tells us, don't you know that people who do these things, such as a whoremonger and all these, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, nor an idolater, have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God? You can't. And all that it takes to get rid of that is to come to the realization that that is what I am, and I need to get rid of it, but I can't get rid of it only one way, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. I need to be washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and when I'm washed in the blood, I'm free. The Lord has made me free, and He says, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I'm as safe as the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, because I've trusted in Him, and the Bible tells me that I am in Him. And He is in me, in the person of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God talks with the spirit of man and tells him, you are the Son of God. He does. And that's, but He won't talk that way to you as long as sin is prevalent in your very being. So Christ alone was without sin. He knew no sin. He was holy, harmless, separate from sinners. He was undefiled. But His blood alone can cleanse from that sin. The great mystery of God, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses man from all sin. We have in Isaiah 53:6, all to begin that verse and all to end that verse. And then we have in 1 John 1:7 that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses that all. Cleanses us from all sin. And that's how the first all, we're in a mess. But the second all, the Lord has laid on the Lord Jesus Christ the iniquity of us all. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The sin of rejecting Him. It is. Now let me say this. I told you about all these unclean things that we have. All these things that, like adultery and murder and fornication and lasciviousness and adultery, witchcraft, hatred, emulence, and all these things. If you stay in those, you're going to go to hell.
and then later be cast into the lake of fire. But you need not. And it's the sin of rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ as the cleanser from those things. All those things will not send you to hell. It's the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ as the cleanser. But I don't need him from that. All right, then you'll go to hell because of it. But the Lord Jesus Christ, his blood is able to cleanse from all those sins. And it's the rejection of him as the sin cleanser. It's the rejection of him as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world that sends a soul into hell. That, my friend, is the thing that we have to listen to this morning. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, his only Son, his only begotten Son, his unique Son, his exclusive Son, cleanseth from all sin. From all sin. And you know that he was shown forth or manifested to take away our sin. And in him is no sin. That's the only reason the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world. He would never have to have come from the glories of glory. He would have never had to come had we not had this three little word, sin. And right in the middle of it is I. Right in the middle of it is that soul, that part of me that wants my own way. And that part of me, by doing what we call sin, has rebel against God, and then God's Spirit cannot have relationship and fellowship with my spirit because the soul that sinneth is in the way. And we need to get rid of that so that we can have this wonderful fellowship with God. And even as a Christian, when we sin, then something's in the way. And it must be taken care of before we can have communion again with God. And that tells us if we confess our sin, that's the very same verse, 1 John 1 and 7. If we confess our sin, doesn't say to go and beg to be forgiven of it. It says to perform. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. You can read in it until you read into it all you want, but that isn't what the Bible says. It says if we confess our sin. In other words, I come over and I say, Lord, you're right. I did wrong. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Christian, isn't that wonderful to have a God like that? Unsaved person, isn't it wonderful to know that you can have a God like that? And he'll love you just as much as the person who's been saved all those years and years and years. Sin, the most dastardly thing that has ever entered into the universe of God. Sin caused. Now let me say this with all sincerity and the way that I hope that you understand it. Sin, the most dastardly thing that has ever come into God's universe, but it brought about the most wonderful thing that has ever come into God's universe.
Amen.
Salvation through the precious person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope that if you're here this morning and you're not saved, that you realize there one day on the cross of Calvary, when mankind nailed the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross and did everything to him that we could do.
Yeah.
But the Word of God says that is not what saves us. He was nailed there in awfulness. But it's when God closed himself off from him and his soul was made an offering for sin, for your sin and my sin. That's when God saved everyone that will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the propitiation for our sin, but for not for ours only, but for the whole world. He can save the whole world if they will but just believe on him. The most dastardly act caused the most precious act of God to come forth. Oh, I guess it's so much more wonderful to be saved because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did, than to be a son of Adam and Eve as if they had never sinned. Think on that sometime, how wonderful God has been and is to us. Let's sing a hymn in closing. I love the words of this, number 270. There is no name so sweet on earth, no name so sweet in heaven, the name before his wondrous birth,